Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome to Murder Mile,
a true crime podcast,
an audio-guided walk,
featuring many of London's unsolved, long-forgotten murders, all set within your mind.
Imagine if everything stopped. Without reason or warning, everything you ever knew or depended on suddenly ceased in the blink of an eye. When the COVID pandemic hit, for billions of people, the whole world stopped dead. Simple things we all took for granted became a massive concern, like our jobs, our health, our wealth, and our loved ones. All of which was followed by mass panics over some of life's basics, like water, pasta, rice, and toilet paper. These were desperate times, a crisis for our age, which pushed our stress levels to breaking point, our sanity to its limits, our tolerance to the edge, and many of us lost loved ones. But as the bulk of the population sat on their fat asses, staring at screens, and grumbling about the loss of seemingly insignificant little luxuries, like trips to the flicks, nights in the pub, holidays in Greece, footy matches, concerts, picnics, and what they would do once they had completed Netflix. While some lamented their so-called hardships and woes, living a mildly inconvenienced life in lockdown, others were really struggling. For those with physical disabilities and mental health issues, as well as those who selflessly provide the care that they so desperately need, even little changes to their routines can have a devastating effect. But what if, one day, without any warning, everything collapsed? Their routine upended, and they were forced to stay indoors every day with no end in sight. With every vital piece of specialist care and support services they had always relied on, taken away in the blink of an eye. And no matter how loud they shouted or how hard they cried, no one could hear them scream. Olga Freeman was a single mother, living alone with her severely disabled son, Dylan. Every day was a struggle, and every hour was difficult. But she coped as best she could, thanks to her dedication as a loving mother and the routines and services she had put in place to give Dylan the best life possible. But when the pandemic struck and everything stopped, Olga Freeman was left alone. My name is Michael. I am your tour guide, and this is Murder Mile. Episode 145, A Desperate Lockdown for Olga Freeman. a little over 1 year ago. This was Olga's home that she shared with her 10-year-old son Dylan. It is a small, two-bedroomed flat on the ground floor of 18 Cumberland Park in Acton, West London. The brickwork is white, the windows are large, there's a central door to the flats above, and a small shared garden out back. Being a quiet little street, discreetly dotted with cars, trees, and the occasional home converted into a community-minded business, like a dentist, a doctor's surgery, or a nursery, it's not unlike any other street. If you were expecting a glib comment or an amusing quip by myself, as often happens in this part of the podcast, as a bit of levity before the heartbreaking horrors of this story unfolds, then think again. Olga was born, Olga Koronina, on the 19th of March 1980, in Moscow, Russia. Raised during the death throes of this communist state, with the Soviet Union dissolved on the 26th of December 1991, Russia developed closer links to the West, and Olga's financially successful family fulfilled their middle-class aspirations. With political isolation a thing of the past, fortune was on their side as they headed into a bright future. With blonde hair, hazel eyes, and a warm smile, Olga was blessed with an inviting face which matched her intoxicating personality. And combined with a methodical brain and a hard-working ethic, it was clear to everyone she met that she would be a success. By the turn of the millennium, she was studying law at Moscow State Law Academy. By the mid-2000s, she was doing her postgrad at BPP Law School in London. And being fluent in English, she later worked for several corporate law firms in the city. Life was blessed. She worked hard, and the rewards paid off. Like anyone else, she enjoyed the fruits of her labor, but she didn't go to excesses. She didn't commit criminal acts. She didn't set out to hurt anyone, and she didn't have a bad bone in her body. By the end of the 2000s, Olga met and fell in love with Dean Freeman, the son of famed celebrity photographer Robert Freeman, and a talented photographer in his own right, having shot portraits of the Spice Girls and David Beckham. Together, Olga and Dean travelled the world and lived the jet-set lifestyle that everybody would dream of. First-class tickets, exclusive parties, and to escape the stresses of life, they holidayed on a Brazilian tropical hideaway amidst the rainforest overlooking the Atlantic Ocean. The perfect life had fallen into place for Olga. With good careers, the couple married. They moved into a £1 million Edwardian house in Acton. And on the 3rd of January 2010, their son, Dylan Valentine, was born. They had it all, and they lived a good life. But even for those who don't deserve it, fate can be cruel. Dylan was a sweet child, a dot of pink flesh with a mop of blonde hair, just like his mum. Like any parent, this bundle of joy was a delight, as in their eyes, he was beautiful and perfect in every way. But at a few days old, it was clear that Dylan wasn't well, as he couldn't feed properly and his lungs were weak. Unlike the other babies, he didn't cry. Instead, the best he could muster was a weak, high-pitched wail, like he was eternally dying. Physically, his body was frail and malformed. with his head abnormally small, a degenerative eye condition, and a set of narrow hands and feet, crudely held together by weak muscles and loose joints, which made simple tasks like standing, walking, or holding objects difficult. Dylan was diagnosed with Cohen's syndrome, one of the rarest congenital birth defects, with only 500 known cases across the world, for which there is no cure. Requiring constant care and love, he would be unable to walk, feed, or function without help. With his brain as underdeveloped as his body, Dylan was also on the autistic spectrum, which meant he was prone to mood swings, struggled to communicate, and when he was sad or in pain, he couldn't express it, so instead he would howl like a wounded wolf cub. And as if that wasn't enough, he was also at a higher risk of infection and autoimmune disorders. Disability aside, Dylan blossomed into a lovely little boy who everyone described as gentle, happy, and sweet, and whose favourite part of the day was cuddling up with his mum as they watched Peppa Pig. Olga gave up everything for her beloved little son, her career, her lifestyle, and her dreams. As a smart, driven businesswoman, she became his full-time carer, as he was her everything, and she was his. To stimulate her son's body and brain, she took him swimming, to the park, to art galleries, and together this family of three went on overseas holidays. To aid his education, he went to a special needs school 5 days a week, and when she needed it, she got in respite care, as she knew that she had to be physically and mentally fit in order to cope. It wasn't easy, but Olga was incredibly patient. Although he struggled to swallow food, she would turn mealtimes into playtime just to get him to eat. As he howled by night, she sang him to sleep, and drained of all energy, she slept whenever she could. Olga was holding it together, but owing to the stresses of work and caring for Dylan, Olga and Dean separated and later divorced. To keep some consistency, Dylan spent the summers with his dad in Barcelona, where he now lived. But with the family home broken up as part of the divorce settlement, Olga and Dylan moved into a small, two-bedroomed ground floor flat at 18 Cumberland Park in Acton, not far from his school. As a recently single mum with a severely disabled son, life was hard, but she coped. But when the whole world was plunged into chaos, everything that Olga and Danny relied on collapsed. Throughout the winter of 2019 and 2020, COVID-19 wasn't a major issue. Brexit was on our mind, Trump was still president, and our Prime Minister Boris Johnson had dismissed it as a Chinese problem. With the virus over there, rather than over here, the whole world had sidestepped several outbreaks over the last few decades, such as swine flu, bird flu, SARS-1, Ebola, and Spanish flu was now a long and distant memory. On the 16th of March 2020, like so many countries across the planet, Britain entered a national lockdown.
Good evening. The coronavirus is the biggest threat this country has faced for decades, and this country is not alone. All over the world, we're seeing the devastating impact of this invisible killer. And so, tonight...
Unessential shops were shut, unnecessary travel was banned, and public gatherings were forbidden. everything was pared down to only the most basic of essentials. And as key workers carried on, doing a heroic job with no overtime nor protection, the selfish shoved the vulnerable aside, ransacked the shelves, and the sailor fridge freezers surged as the irresponsible hoarded chips, pizza and Kievs by the kilo. It was a crisis which showed everyone in their true colour, dividing the selfish from the selfless.
From this evening, I must give the British people a very simple instruction. You must stay at home. Because the critical thing you must do...
3 days later, Olga celebrated her 40th birthday alone. Although in good spirits, she was rightfully concerned about the virus, as her son was at higher risk of infection than most. But with very little credible information being released on how to protect them both, all she could do was to be vigilant. For many, it was a time of great uncertainty, as rules were flouted, masks were non-existent, and the unscrupulous sold hand sanitizer at grossly inflated prices. Initially, the lockdown was only supposed to last for 3 weeks. But as the infection rate skyrocketed, emergency measures were introduced. On the 25th of March 2020, the British government fast-tracked through Parliament the Coronavirus Act to give them powers to slow the spread of the virus and to reduce the burden on public resources. Overnight, every school closed, and many parents who were unqualified became their child's teacher. But this act also relaxed the legal onus on local councils to provide care for those with special needs. So alongside every school being shut, vital care and support services were withdrawn overnight. Gone was the specialist care. Gone were the respite carers. 1 week earlier, Dylan was attending a special school 5 days a week. An important time which aided his development and well-being, as well as giving Olga a very brief window to sleep and to mentally reboot. But now, it was just the two of them. Olga and Dylan were alone, stuck inside a small two-bedroom flat, day and night. With her family in Russia, her ex-husband in Spain, travel banned, and her friends isolating, as everyone was, and shielding to protect her son from infection, this twosome stayed at home. Even little changes to his routine were traumatic. But now, everything familiar was gone. And as Dylan became more unsettled and agitated, the less he slept, the less she slept, as a numbness filled her mind and her body. As carefully as she could, she took Dylan for walks in the park. They played on a little trampoline in the back garden. They cuddled on the sofa, watching endless episodes of Peppa Pig. And she even bought him special pillows to help him sleep. Every day was exhausting. Every night was identical. And with the lockdown extended from weeks to months, there was no end in sight. Or so it seemed.
We're taking the first careful steps to modify our measures. If there are outbreaks, if there are problems, we will not hesitate to put on the brakes. We've been through the initial...
On the 10th of May 2020, after just 9 weeks of limited isolation, with PPE still unavailable for every healthcare worker, and the UK listed as the worst infected country in Europe and the second worst in the world, the lockdown restrictions were lifted. Masks were binned, holidays were booked, and pubs reopened. We were 3 months from a second wave and 6 months from a vaccine. But with
"fuck it"
being the national response and everyone complaining,
"I'm bored now. I deserve some fun."
With the government caring more about money than its people, the truly selfish acted as if a global pandemic had never happened. Lockdown had devastated Dylan's mental health. It had left him agitated and volatile. But combined with the isolation and the exhaustion, even worse was how it had impacted on Olga. To help her sleep, she had started taking melatonin, a natural sleep aid, to sedate her and Dylan. Being at her wit's end, she was prescribed antidepressants, as well as painkillers, as having to constantly carry her 10-year-old boy from the sofa to bed to the bath. The physical stresses of being his carer had damaged her knees. She hadn't slept in weeks. Her smile was gone, her eyes were dark, and her skin was sallow. Olga was now little more than a hollow ghost of her former self. But still, being the devoted and loving mother of a little boy who she would love with her last dying breath, she cared for Dylan as best she could. Throughout lockdown, she kept in regular contact with Ealing Council, who provided her son's care. And although some services had started to return, with a severe backlog and a staff shortage, they were slow to respond. On the 26th of June 2020, she asked the council for an increase in the carer's allowance, but this was rejected. On the 6th of July, as the carer was part-funded by herself and Olga was unable to work, she requested an increase in funding to help cover the cost. But no decision was made. And on the 7th of July, she called the council, stating that she was under significant pressure, that she was feeling forgotten, and that, more importantly, she was so stressed, she was not functioning mentally. Those words should have raised alarm bells, but they didn't. Diagnosed with depression and anxiety, Olga suffered a breakdown owing to the extreme stresses she was under. She was overwhelmed and she was broken. But her care for Dylan didn't stop for a single second. And never once was he hurt, abused, or malnourished, as she never stopped loving her little boy. In the week leading up to the 15th of August 2020, Olga's depression had developed into a psychosis. Unable to eat, chain smoking and guzzling coffee just to keep herself awake, she was sleep deprived and isolated. And as her reality blurred, her mind was distorted by the sound of Dylan howling like a wounded wolf. At times, Olga said that she was experiencing supernatural events. She heard voices, she saw apparitions, and gripped with delusions of grandeur, she even believed that she was the second coming of Jesus. Adita Serpikaya, her friend and former nanny, was worried. Having heard Olga's ramblings about her mission, how they were waiting for her in Jerusalem, and how this was the best thing for Dylan, worried that she would flee the country, having purchased 2 tickets to Tel Aviv, Adita hid her passport. But by then, it would be too late. On on Saturday the 15th of August 2020, at about 10 p.m. Olga texted Adita with the words, "I am done." Calling her back, Adita was so concerned that she recorded their conversation. As Olga admitted, "I have sacrificed my beloved child to create a balance in the world. It was impossible to believe, but sadly, it was true." Adita arrived at 12:45 a.m. She wasn't allowed into the bedroom, but Olga confessed to what she had done. She reported to Acton Police Station, stating, "I have killed my son." And at 2:15 a.m, with Dylan found unresponsive, the little boy was pronounced dead, and Olga was arrested for his murder. Seeing this as her only option, Olga was as gentle with his death as she had been with his life. Having fed him a sedative in a spoonful of mashed up banana, as he slowly drifted off, she tucked him up under her duvet to keep him safe and warm. As for the very last time, she kissed her little boy goodnight. As Cohen's disease had ravaged his lungs, to aid his departure, she placed a bath sponge in his mouth and secured it with the strap of her bra and a strip of sellotape. He didn't panic. He felt no pain, and his death was quick. As he faded away into a long eternal sleep, surrounded by the toys he loved so much. His teddies, his Thomas the Tank Engine, and his Peppa Pig. A post-mortem was conducted at Great Ormond Street Hospital, where a pathologist confirmed that death was caused by upper airway obstruction. There were no signs of abuse, bruises, or neglect. On the 25th of January 2021, the trial was held at the Old Bailey, with Olga seen via video link from the Orchard Ward, a psychiatric unit at St Bernard's Hospital in West London, where she pleaded guilty to manslaughter. It was undeniable to everyone that this was a truly tragic case of a single mother doing her very best under extraordinary circumstances, and at which both Dylan and Olga were the victims. In her summation, the judge stated to Olga that you loved your son and sacrificed yourself for him, I have no doubt. The burden of caring for a severely disabled boy was one you took on, as mothers do, out of love and duty. I can see that, and I can see how you discharged it faithfully for years. You fought for your son to have the best support, but it was a burden that took an enormous toll on you. Although he was not able to tell you so, I am sure you were loved by him, and there will have been many joys in the life you led together. I have no doubt, at all, that you were a loving and dedicated mother to a vulnerable child, until multiple pressures overwhelmed you and your mind. On the 11th of February 2021, Olga Freeman was sentenced to an indefinite hospital order, and as of today, she remains at the Orchard Unit. A report into the council's lack of care during the pandemic stated, "It is clear from the evidence of this review that this death could not have been foreseen." Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to Murder Mile. As always, If you enjoy a bit of non-compulsory chit-chat about cake, tea, and other details about this case, as well as a little quiz, then feel free to join me after the break. A big thank you to my new Patreon supporters, who are James Parry, Verity Harrington, Emily Clark, and Margaret Christensen. I thank you for supporting the show, as well as my ever-expanding waistline. With a special thank you to James for your kind donation via the supporter link. I thank you. Murder Mile was researched, written and performed by myself, with the main musical themes written and performed by Eric Stein and John Books of Cult With No Name. Thank you for listening, and sleep well.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Well, there we go, everyone. It was a nice, happy episode for everyone to enjoy. So let's do Extra Mile. I'm going to try and pick up the kind of that's a bit of a difficult one to get through. Probably difficult for you to listen to. Difficult for me to say the words on. I struggled through that. How long was that episode? Yeah, it took a long while to get through that one. Oh dear God, that was one of those episodes that. It was happening during lockdown and I kept an eye on it and I thought, you know, I thought to myself, maybe there won't be enough to kind of cover the episode. But actually, when I started diving into it, I thought to myself, do you know what? This makes for an interesting episode in its own right. Do you know, we've just come out of lockdown. Everyone's kind of got like, oh, we're going on holiday. It's over. There's no pandemic. Oh, everything's fine. Oh, God, my life was so stressful because I'd watched everything on Netflix. And oh, the stress of not being able to go to a pub. Do you know, it kind of still annoys me that people are quite petty about how it's affected them, and it has affected everyone. It's affected everyone in different ways, but you know, it's just there's a lot of people out there who have had a worse life than us through lockdown. Do you know, as they say, do you know, the incidence of kind of domestic abuse went up. We'll dive into some stats on this in a bit. And you think about it, do you know, if you're mentally healthy and you're physically well, lockdown's not really a problem. You know, which, you know, it's you know, we find ways of coping with it. But if you've got the mechanisms in place to help you cope with life and then life goes all crazy and it's out of your control, what are you meant to do? So that's really what I wanted to have. I felt that it was a good time to have a bit of an attack on people who, let's be honest, quite a few people have been quite selfish during lockdown. And really, do you know, I remember going in the supermarket and seeing, do you know, an old person trying to reach the shelves to get some toilet paper, and it was all, do you know, it all disappeared. She couldn't see out back. I had a look for, and I was like, I'm sorry, there's nothing on there. And when I went around the other aisles, there was people there with trolleys and they'd stocked up on pasta and, you know, all the toilet papers and shit like that. And it's like, oh, I'm thinking about myself, or I'm thinking about my family, inverted commas. But it's kind of, you know, the whole world is our family, really. We need to start thinking about other people and thinking about people who are more vulnerable and more in need. So I'm just gonna open some windows, open the door, get some fresh air in. It's not too hot today, which is all right. I don't think we haven't really had a summer as such, which is good. I can't be bothered with summer. Let's just go and pop me on a cup of tea. Had me coffees for the day. Done my water already. Water's already in the kettle. There we go. That saves time. Well done, Michael. Tea bag in. It's a PG. Two sugars. Oh, this is exciting. And powdered milk. Right, coming back.
Welcome to Extra Mile. I didn't do that, but did I? To people who are new to Extra Mile, this is kind of, you know, it's waffle. It's waffle. Fill you in on some details. We do some quiz questions. There's some extra details about the case that I kind of felt didn't feel right in the episode, so I leave them for here. You're welcome to stay, but you're welcome to go as well. What else is going on in the world? I've now able to put all the old back episodes up on YouTube. So if you want to, I know, like me, a lot of people listen to their phone, but some people listen at work. Or at their desk, and you know, sometimes your boss might be like, oh god, you can't be listening to stuff, but you know, you can use YouTube and you can sneakily listen to Murder Mile while you're at work. So all the old episodes are there, so go to the YouTube channel, it's in the show notes. You've also got the old location videos are there as well, so you can have a browse through them as well. So they're all there. What else is going on? Gearing up for winter. Today is the 1st of September as of recording at 9, this is 9:55 a.m. Sort of powered through writing this. I'm getting good at kind of gearing. I'm gearing up for next year to give myself extra time. So I'm learning to write an episode in 2 days instead of three, or sometimes it used to be four. I'm saying to myself, stop waffling, Michael. Stop daydreaming. Focus. I'm doing that. So that's good. So hopefully I can learn to get the edit down a little bit not faster, but more efficiently. I'm trying to be efficient. That's the key word. So that's all good. Gearing up for winter. So we got a couple of months until winter now. So I'm going out on my little walks with a little bag, and I'm picking up all the broken bits of logs and not logs, but I can't carry those, but like things that can turn into kindling, so that, you know, the woods near me, all the bits of wood are on the floor, and they've gone through winter, and they've gone through a spring and a summer, and now they go to, it's gone hot and cold, and they're all good for kindling. So I've got those, got coal on board. I've just filled up with water, waiting for the coal boat to come past and get a little bit more coal, some more kindling, maybe a gas bottle, and then that's me ready for winter, which should be good. Planning for the next year ahead, which is all good. So the end of Murder Mile tours, that'll be good. Hopefully the new tour in the new year, but I'll work on that at some point. And I'm just trying to gear myself up for a kind of a little bit more fun in life and a little bit less stress, and you know, hopefully not working. So like, I normally work 7 days a week. I'm trying to get to the point where I can finally take a weekend off. That'd be lovely. So I'm looking forward to that. Oh, look, kettle's boiling. Let's grab it before it boils. Let's just put it in while it's almost boiled, which you're meant to do with tea and coffee anyway. It's not meant to go in. It's not meant to go in boil, because apparently you ruin the coffee, and apparently the same with the tea bag as well. It's meant to be just sub boiling. Ooh, this is exciting, Michael. Thank you for that veritable feast of information. Just letting the tea bag stew. What else have we got? Got some. If you're a Patreon subscriber, I've just done the last kind of blast of mugs online. I've still got some available, so I've put them on my Facebook, the Murder Mile discussion group. I've popped them on there, so people are buying mugs, so that's all good. If I can, I just need to find space. The problem is I have no space on the boat to kind of store stuff, so I can't have like 30 mugs. There's a lot of space on my boat. I really don't have space for it, so I can't have a backlog of stuff sitting here. So if I can work out how to do that, I might get some extra mugs on the boat and then start. I'll hope to upload them onto the website. What else is going on? I'm just about to post off 3 mugs to people very shortly, which will be very exciting. So I've got to go to the post office, but the post office is right next to Simpson's Cake Shop. Ooh, yes, they do like handmade cakes, really nice. There's a Morrison's around the corner, which is fine. They do some nice cakes, but this Simpson's around the corner, oh yes, very nice.
So I'm going to treat myself very shortly. I'm still trying to be good. I'm still not pigging out and stuff, but I'm kind of, you know, allowing myself to go back onto cakes and things. Right, let's do the quiz questions, and then I'll go and grab my tea, and then we'll come back and do extra stuff. Right, get ready. Don't forget, I'll probably balls up some of these questions. So here goes. Question one. What was Danny's middle name? Question two. What sleep aid did Olga take and use to sedate Danny? Question three. Which celebrities did Olga's husband take photos of? Obviously, he took photos of loads, but these were the main ones that I mentioned. Question four. Which capital city did Olga come from? Question five. What did Olga originally do as a job? Question six. Where was Danny's autopsy conducted? Question seven. What genetic disorder did Dylan suffer from? Hang on, Dylan. Danny. Bollocks, have I said Danny in this episode? Why have I written Dylan there? Hang on. Oh, bollocks. Don't say I've got to go and start re-recording stuff. Oh, Michael. Dylan. Oh, bollocks. You know what? I'm going to have to redo some of this episodes, because I think in the later parts I've written Danny in some parts. And I don't know why I've written Danny. Oh, fuck. Right. Dylan. I've written Dylan there. Dylan, Dylan, Dylan. And then I know later on I've written Danny. This is annoying. That's fine. I will go back in and I will re-edit those. Pretend you didn't hear that. I'm glad I picked up on that. Well done, Michael. So which genetic disorder did Dylan suffer from? See, above there in question six, I've written Danny's autopsy. It's not Danny, it's Dylan. Oh, Michael. That means extra work. I can't believe I didn't spot that in the rewrite. Right. There we go. So which genetic disorder did Dylan suffer from? Question eight. What hospital is Olga currently in? Question nine. What country did they have a rainforest coastal retreat in? So that's Dean and Olga. And question ten. Which capital city did Olga's ex-husband Dean live in? Just going to grab my tea and then punch myself in the face for being a freaking idiot. That's always the way. So you focus on all the little details, like making sure the dates are right and things like that. And then you realise, maybe I was probably thinking about someone else. Someone else. Oh, well, there we go. Right, let's plod on. Hang on. I need to make sure I don't balls up this question. So, Dylan's disability. Oh, Michael. How did you end up writing Danny? Fuck's sake. So, Dylan's disability. Obviously, I won't mention what the name of it is, because that's going to be one of the quiz questions. It took a little while for them to work. Within a couple of days, they knew that there was a problem with him, but it took a little while because the syndrome that he has is kind of, it's difficult to diagnose at the start. It's kind of, it's only as the, because it's a developmental disorder, so it's only as the child starts to develop that you can kind of see things going on. So they knew at the start he wasn't feeding properly, his lungs weren't particularly good, but as he was growing, his head kind of wouldn't grow at the same rate that it should do. As mentioned, his hands and feet were kind of very narrow and thin, which meant it was difficult for him to grip things and to stand. He had suffered with muscle weakness, and he was on the autistic spectrum as well. He was unable to communicate, which is why it's mentioned throughout that often at nights when he was upset or he was in pain, he would howl like a dog. This was all he was really able to do. He had difficulty sleeping all the time, which obviously made it really difficult for Olga as well. I'm glad I got Olga's name right. That's a start. He also suffered with a visual impairment to the eyes as well. So I'll post a picture of him, but when you see the picture, I mean, he's a lovely little boy, kind of mop of blonde hair, kind of Coke bottle bottom glasses. But as everyone said, you know, he's quite insular, kind of stays within himself or with his mum. What else was there? As mentioned, he had a higher risk of autoimmune disorders and infection, which is why they had to keep an eye on him, protect him a lot, but especially when the pandemic happened, and especially given the fact that people didn't really know what coronavirus was and what it did, and that it grossly affected people's lungs at the time. This was kind of, you can imagine how the kind of the terror was going on in her mind at that point, thinking, you know, if this is a virus that affects lungs and she's got a son with a lung disorder as well as multiple mental health and physical health issues, you know, this is going to be really devastating for him. A week after lockdown, the Coronavirus Act was enacted by the government. It was kind of fast-tracked through Parliament. I know it's kind of easy to say that, you know, the problem is we had, it was, I don't think a lot of people took it seriously at the start, which is why I've tried to be a little more balanced with it. You know, we've had a lot of kind of, as mentioned, we had Ebola, we have had bird flu, we had swine flu, we've had SARS-1. You know, we've had a lot of viruses in the news coming out. They tend to happen. You know, Ebola happened and it was devastating, but we were kind of like, ah, well, you know, it's Africa. You know, bird flu, oh well, that's over in Asia, so that's not really a problem for us. That's kind of the mentality, and I think that there was a lot of that at the start, like, oh, it's another virus, that's fine, it's not really going to cause us a problem. Oh, look, it's over in China, well, that's their problem. Unfortunately, our government, as many governments did, didn't take it seriously at the start. We weren't the only ones who had governments who are fucking idiots. Unfortunately, this is the problem. I think this is the problem with a lot of governments in the world, is that they don't, you know, they don't hire the best. You would think that if you have an organisation that's going to run your whole country, you would hire the best. You know, in some governments you do, like if you the Minister for Education, they hire an ex-teacher. The Minister for Health, you hire an ex-doctor or nurse. If you hire a Minister for Business, you hire someone who's ran a business. What do? We hire pricks, I'm sorry to say that, pricks who basically just want to be politicians. They don't know anything else, and therefore they can go from being Minister for Sport to Minister for Media to Minister for Health to Minister for Defence. It's like they can be battered around because they're useless, they're pathetic. We should really hire people who know what they're talking about, have experts. I know that crazy word, experts. Unfortunately, we don't. Therefore, you know, no one really took coronavirus as seriously as they should. Therefore, the act was rushed through, as always, emergency measures. And unfortunately, it's all very well putting an umbrella term in there saying, you know, they need to restrict the virus and lessen the burden on public health services. But the problem is that's a big umbrella term that covers a lot of things. And yes, that will help, you know, protect the NHS, which would eventually be swamped again because the government hadn't bothered to think in advance, you know. Bojo the Clown, our unfortunate Prime Minister, had said, oh no, it's nothing, it'll be sorted in 3 weeks, if we all remember that. And he went around hospitals shaking hands with patients and doctors, even though he was told not to, and then he got coronavirus. Lovely. What a treat. Well done. Well done. That's exactly what a leader should do. So, unfortunately, the Coronavirus Act caused as many problems as it kind of helped resolve problems, as mentioned. Parents who have children with mental health and physical health needs were already looking at this. They're already going, this is absolutely devastating, because what it did was, it relaxed the legal onus on local authorities to provide care laid down in children's individual education, health and care plans, and instead required them, in inverted commas, to do everything they can to continue to meet their existing duties. But that's so incredibly vague, because it's like, to, you know, try to do your best given the situation. But it's, you know, everything had been shut down. You know, there was no PPE. People weren't allowed to go and visit other people's houses. You know, you had to stay in your bubble. It's like, if you're someone like Olga and your son has a routine, you need to keep him safe and protected in the house. It's a nightmare. What, you know, everything had shut down. What is she going to do? You know, absolutely crazy situation. As mentioned, you know, she got a little bit of a history of depression, but nothing major on that point. as she went through lockdown, this was about 9 weeks, 9 to 10 weeks was the first initial lockdown. And then we went in, down into a lifting of lockdown restrictions, which if you can imagine that as well, I know everyone was going, yeah, lockdown's over. Yeah, I'm going to go on holiday. I'm going to get pissed in pubs. And, you know, it was all chaotic, which is why we went into a second wave. Think of it from Olga's point of view. You know, she's got her during lockdown. Okay, you know, it was difficult for her, but again, people, you know, we were trying to keep the infection rate down. But when people went, hey, fuck it, we're going to have a great time. Imagine those scenes. You're watching that on the telly and thinking, how many of those people have the virus? How is it spreading? And it did. It skyrocketed. It went absolutely freaking crazy just because people were like, oh, fuck it, I need to have some fun. Yeah, we do need to have some fun. Yeah, but you've just got, you know, you can have fun and you can be sensible at the same time, you know. I'm still doing this sensibly. Why? Do you know what? I'm trying to protect my family and other people's family. That's why I do it. So she was put on antidepressants at the time. Obviously, you know, this. There's a real backlog with doctors around that point. I remember around that time that you couldn't actually physically go to see a doctor anymore. You had to call up and the doctor would call you. And it's, you know, for a doctor, big part of what they do is physically seeing you and kind of, you know, looking at you. That's really what they do. But trying to analyse people over the phone, what was the doctor able to do? All he could really do was put her on antidepressants. Mental health services were already exhausted. So, you know, absolute nightmare. I didn't put this in the episode. I did consider it. But the number of domestic homicides rose in London during 2020, so during the lockdown, with a steep increase in the number of children killed amid concerns that coronavirus restrictions may have had an impact. Figures released by the Metropolitan Police show that although the overall number of killings in the capital fell from 126, fell to 126 from 150 in 2019, the number of domestic murders rose from 16 to 22, and 12 of those victims killed in a domestic setting were children, which was almost double above the previous year. I mean, understandable. Do you know, people kind of stuck at home, not able to go out, a lot of frustrations, things like that. People getting upset, you know, taking it out on each other. Entirely wrong. But unfortunately, some people aren't wired correctly. Do you know, some people lash out. Some people get angry. Some people feel the need to punch someone. Whereas, you know, the people who are wired correctly know, you know, if I'm upset, I go for a walk. That's what I do. I do a lot of walking. It gets a lot of frustrations out. And by the time I come back, I'm a little bit tired. But you know what? It's given me a time to think through all the problems, which is something that I do. I enjoy it. As mentioned, 26th of June 2020, Olga emailed the council saying that she was stressed, she was having a lot of difficulties. Not only were her knees playing her up, but she'd started to get arthritis by that point as well. She'd formerly had a carer in for about 30 hours a week. There was carer funding starting to come back in by that point, which was carer was coming in about 16 hours a week. But the problem is, she said, because there was a lack of staff shortage, it was entirely inconsistent. And you can't have inconsistency with anyone who's kind of got the problems that Dylan has. Hooray, I got his name wrong, right, for once. Oh, I've got to redo all that. That's fine. Do you know what? I had an episode once before, I can't remember which one, ages ago, where I got someone's name wrong entirely for the whole episode. I had to go in and redo, not the whole lot, but I'm able to sneak bits in. What else is there? Let's see. Oop. Boat going past too fast, and oh, my boat is scraping along the bottom of the canal because it's very shallow around the edges. It looks like it's really deep, but it's not. It's incredibly shallow. Oh, it's a horrible sound. Luckily, it's steel, so all it does is make a grating noise, but it's not hot. It doesn't cause any damage. What else we got? Around the time, so Adita, who was Olga's friend and former nanny, when the kind of lockdown kind of broke out, she was able, even though you can appreciate it, she's already got her own job and, you know, she's probably got her own family and she's got her own concerns. She came in herself and started working about 12 hours a week to kind of help Olga get through this. But by that point, she'd noticed a severe decline in Olga's mental health. Adita was the same person who kind of, you know, Olga called the night before and came around and took her to the police station. As mentioned, the trial was held at the Old Bailey. There was initially the coroner's trial was held at, I think it was Uxbridge Magistrates Court. But the trial was at the Old Bailey. This was relatively a simple one. Everyone was in agreement at that point that it was a truly tragic case because of COVID restrictions and the fact that Olga was in a mental health unit at that point. This was all being done by video conference. When was it? Yeah, actually, by that point, we'd already gone back into the second or third lockdown. I can't remember which one was which. Because unfortunately we had the tier 4 bullshit, and that's confused me a lot about what was a lockdown, what wasn't a lockdown. It was all very confusing. Anyway, she attended court. She it was from video link. She appeared very pale. Her hair was kind of loose around her face, and she was wearing a cardigan with a red and white shirt. When you look at the difference in the pictures between her when she was kind of married and having a wonderful life, and then the mugshot photo taken after, you know, the months of lockdown, you can see a real difference in her face. It looks, you know, she looks absolutely drained and exhausted. What else was there? Let's do the judge's summation. I used a bit of this at the end, but let's try a bit of it now. So it was Mrs. Justice Shima Grubb. She told Olga, the expert psychiatrists who have met and assessed you, including the one treating you at the unit at the hospital in West London, where you are presently held, all agree this is one of those rare and desperately sad cases where a devoted parent commits a shocking act of violence towards a precious, innocent, beloved child while completely out of their right mind. That you loved your son and sacrificed yourself for him, I have no doubt. The burden of caring for a severely disabled boy was one you took on, as mothers do, out of love and duty. Those imperceptible ties. I can see that, and I can see how you discharged it faithfully for years. You fought for your son to have the best support, and your own life was bounded by this. But it was a burden that took an enormous toll on you. Although he was not able to tell you so, I am sure you were loved by him, and there will have been many joys in the life that you led together, as the family photographs I have seen have shown. I have no doubt at all that you were a remarkably loving and dedicated mother to a vulnerable child under multiple pressures, until multiple pressures overwhelmed you and your mind were swamped by a destructive, depressive illness with florid psychotic elements. So it was a relatively simple case for everyone. You know, there's no denying that she'd done what she'd done. She admitted to it. Everyone knew it was a tragic case. And she's under a whole life hospital order at the moment, which means she will be held in a hospital in a psychiatric unit until the doctors say that she is mentally well to be released. So there will be no period of time. She won't go to prison for the crime that she'd done. Everyone is under agreement. This is a mental health problem. And that's where she will stay until they say that she is well to be released into the community. If she's not well to be released into community, then that is where she will stay. Oh, that was happy days. Lovely story. Oh, right. Now I need to go back in and re-edit in Dylan instead of Danny. Oh, I hope I haven't done too many. Such an idiot. It happens, doesn't it? It happens. Good. Cared for Dylan. I think I've only done one or two. Dylan. I think I've only done a one or two. Oh, Michael. Anyway, that's that done. Hope you all enjoyed that. As much as you can enjoy an episode like that. Next week, again, another entirely different one. So, well, but hopefully this one won't be as depressing. This was a very depressing episode, and rightly so. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for supporting the podcast. It's all very much appreciated. Hope you're all having a good life and you're doing well. And, you know, even though the world may be still in a bit of a horrific place, let's not forget, you know, your life is, even though it may seem difficult at times, it's not as bad as some people. So do you know what? Sometimes that can be a blessing. Have yourself a good week. Stay safe. Be good. Lots of love. Bye-bye. Oh, shit. While I was busy thinking about re-putting Danny or Dylan back in and kind of balls everything up, I entirely forgot to do the answers to the quiz questions. So here we go. God, dear, I'm all over the shop today. Question number one. What was Danny's... Oh, see, it balls it up there. What was Dylan's middle name? I'll give everyone this answer for free because I balls up the question. What was Dylan's middle name? It was Valentine. Question number two. What sleep aid did Olga take and use to sedate Dylan? It was melatonin. Question three. Which celebrities did Olga's husband or ex-husband take pictures of? It was the Spice Girls and David Beckham. Of course, he did many others. Question four. Which capital city did Olga come from? That was Moscow. Question five. What did Olga originally do as a job? She was a corporate lawyer. Question six. Where was Dylan's autopsy conducted? Great Ormond Street Hospital. Question seven. What genetic disorder did Dylan suffer from? See, I've got it right in that question. Cohen's syndrome. Question eight. What hospital is Olga currently in? It's the Orchard Ward of St. Bernard's Hospital in Ealing. And right at the back of there, the back of that hospital, is the canal, and that's where the body of Alice Gross was found. Question nine. What country did the couple have a rainforest coastal retreat in? That was Brazil. And ten. Which capital city did Olga's ex-husband Dean live in? That was Barcelona. There we go. I only fucked up so much. Right, now I've got to go and edit all this. Oh, dear God. Have yourself a good week. Stay safe. Be good. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.